Psalm 63. There you go. I'm going to. Psalm 63.
Pastor, while you're hooking up there, somebody found this phone in the parking lot a couple weeks ago. Did anybody lose a phone? Because I know there's a SIM card and stuff in there. You lost a phone. None of the teenagers seem to have lost it. Okay, well, just asking. Okay.
It did look like it got ran over by a couple of cars, but... Mr. Doug, where are you? Mr. Doug, I am almost positive that your family come across the border. Uh-huh. I thought that. Legally? Wait a minute. Do you know what? To become an American citizen, if you are not born into an American citizen or marry into an American citizen, you have to take a test. And I bet you half the American citizens couldn't pass that test. So, and Mr. Doug, I learned something else a few years ago. When I was in Guatemala, I met a young man who had a family. And you have to understand, in Guatemala, to even have a hard floor would be a luxury. And he wanted to better his family, and so he snuck into America using some really not good characters to get here. Could have cost him his life just to get through that part, because they usually take your money and kill you. But he finally made it, and he had to work for a number of years just to pay them off before he could start making money for his family. And then he went back. And he wanted to better his family again, so he thought about doing it again. So this is the American dream, and people in the world wants the American dream. And I don't blame them a bit for trying to get the American dream. I thank the Lord I was born here, but my folks came from England and Ireland and maybe Scotland and a little bit of Dutch. And even if you're American Indian, you're not really American Indian. You came somewhere over the land bridge to get here too. So all of us crossed the border once upon a time. Praise the Lord for America.
Amen.
Just thought I'd put that in there, brother. Psalm 63. Guys, with your other, if you won't mind getting a hymn book, I know it's unusual to get a hymn book out. But I want you to give a hymn book, huh? Yeah, it is. Just a different color. Yep. Absolutely. Turn to hymn number 472. Well, this one's mine personally, I think. So, hymn number 472. I was trying to figure out what the Lord wanted me to preach on. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. It doesn't always, I wish I could tell you, Monday afternoon I've got the messages lined up. But it doesn't work so well in mine. I guess I'm a procrastinator and my brain must function that way because it's usually a lot of times the last minute that I get that. There are times that I know ahead of time, but not always. And I was looking, Lord, what can I speak on? Because right now I don't have a video for Sunday night, so I'm also thinking about a message for Sunday evening, discipleship training. So, Lord, what do you want me to speak on this week? And as I was thinking, I had an old song that came to mind. In fact, couldn't even remember the name of it right. Actually, I thought it was in the old Stamps and Baxter Blue Book. I don't know if you know the one I'm talking about, but my home church used to sing on Sunday nights out of the Blue Book. And I love that old book with the shaped notes. If you've ever tried to read those shaped notes to play on an instrument, unless you grew up with them, it's hard, really hard. But I thought this song was in that, and I looked and couldn't find it. And I got online and found out it was in the newest Baptist hymnal. And I thought, okay, I didn't realize that. It is hymn number 472. I don't know if you know this song. Miss Debbie, do you know this one? 472? Satisfied with Jesus. Now, you know, when you read that at first, you're going, yeah, I like that. That's good. Notice what it says. I am satisfied with Jesus. He has done so much for me. He has suffered to redeem me. He has died to set me free. I love that. That's good. Isn't that good? Notice second verse. He is with me in my trials. Best of friends of all is He. I can always count on Jesus. Can He always count on me? Uh-oh. I like those first parts. I don't like that part. Well, let's do the third one. I can hear the voice of Jesus calling out so pleadingly, go and win the lost and straying. Is He satisfied with me? When my work on earth is ended and I cross the mystic sea, oh, that I could hear Him saying, I am satisfied with Thee. Notice the chorus. I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied, I'm satisfied with Jesus. But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary. Is my Master satisfied with me? I'd like for Him to cut that part out. I've never had a problem with Jesus. And today, as we look and we study a little bit about David, David appears to have the same thought. Psalm 63 is a time when David is probably running from his son Absalom. Absalom took over the throne. He got a following and pushed his dad out, and David had to run for his life for a time, and he had to spend time in a wilderness. But that seems to be David's life, by the way, if you haven't noticed. He did that with Saul, and now he's done that with his son Absalom. And so he's not there at Jerusalem. He's not at Bethlehem, his hometown. He's not able to get close to the temple where they worship God. And so he's out in the wilderness. And notice this wonderful poem that he penned. He said in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? David said, God, You're my God. What a relationship he had. He said, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. Now, by the way, it sounds like he must get up real early in the morning and have a time of devotion with the Lord. Isn't that what it sounds like to you? That's a bad translation, by the way. It really doesn't mean early as in the morning. It means earnestly will I seek You. Earnestly will I seek You. He said, My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. I'm not talking about just you've been out and, you know, you just got a little dry, need a little something to wash it down. But have you ever been really, really thirsty? I hadn't always been a guy that plans well. I'm not a Boy Scout. And so, you know, Boy Scouts' motto, always be prepared. Well, I was always just, let's go. And so I would hunt back in the woods behind my mom and dad's house, and I wouldn't take water. I mean, why would you take water? It's on the river swamp. Well, that'd be terrible stuff to drink, by the way, but you get back there and you hunt all day, and you just get dry. Well, God has a great sense of humor, and there are orange trees scattered in the swamp down there. Only they came from sourwood root. And the birds have taken the seeds and deposited them in different places in the swamp, and so you get these wonderful trees. They're healthy. I mean, if you could grow an orange grove with trees that look that good, especially when they don't get much light. And the oranges are so big, some of them rascals are unbelievable on that tree. and you start peeling them, you realize it's not all orange, it's mostly peeling. Once you get down there and then you tear it in half, you know how an orange comes apart. You usually get juice in your face. Tear that thing apart and get that first one there. And you know you're thirsting, so you can't wait. It's got sugar, it's sweet, it's juicy. And you stick it in your mouth and you go, woo! It makes a lemon taste sweet. Sour oranges. Now, by the way, you finish eating that orange because you're thirsty. You're thirsty. Need something. But I'm going to tell you, after you eat that orange, you know what you are? Thirstier! It's kind of like, you know, when you're kind of thirsty and you go by Dairy Queen. And you go, you know what, I think I'd rather have an ice cream than something to drink. So you get that ice cream and you wolf it down, and all of a sudden you're twice as thirsty, because ice cream don't quench your thirst. Neither do sour oranges, I want you to know. David said, you know, I'm out in the wilderness. I'm not in Jerusalem anymore where they have public worship. I can't just go to the temple when I want to. I can't be around God's people there, gathered around, making their sacrifices, singing songs unto God. I can't be there. And by the way, guys, the temple or the tabernacle represented the presence of God. It always had. And so when you think about the presence of God, it's not like we today that enjoy the Holy Spirit that indwells us all the time. They didn't necessarily have that luxury of that, though David did have the Spirit of God on his life. But still, not being close to the temple meant that he didn't feel the presence of God like he wanted to feel. He'd experienced the power of God and the glory of God in the temple before, and he didn't have that. And he's out there, and he's thinking about what he's going through and the situation and the circumstance, and he's going, man, if I could just be at church. How many of you think that way on Sunday morning? Can't wait to get up. It's Sunday morning. We get to go to Sunday school. And then church. Do you get excited about that? Or are you just like a normal person? Are we going to church this morning? You know it's kind of cold out. Is it cloudy? Might rain. Wouldn't want that to happen. Did you charge the battery on that boat? You know, we can put a top up if it rains there. Guys, unfortunately, we're not as faithful as we need to be to the Lord, are we? David was missing that. It was a part of his life that he wanted to be a part of again. And he said, it's like being out without having enough water. Guys, what happens if you don't have water for a number of days? Again, just that day of being out in the woods, I was thirsty. And by the way, you can get dehydrated enough. In fact, I've had migraines twice in my life, and both of those were out hunting when I didn't have enough water. And I got so dehydrated, my body tried to kind of shut down in a way by giving me a migraine. And if you've never had a migraine, oh my goodness. I thought life had ended. Well, actually, I wish life would have ended. I was out in a wildlife area. I called my wife and I said, honey, I've got a migraine. I don't know what to do. See, actually, church was closer to than my house. And I was hurting so bad that I was going to drive to the church, not thinking I'd still have to have somebody drive me home from there. And so I said, honey, I'm going to try to drive home. And I was praying every light would be green. Guess what? They weren't. And I got so bad I had to stop because I had that dry heave stuff from the migraine. Oh, my goodness. So I understand a little bit of what it's like. And by the way, when you get home, you don't want to talk. My wife wants to know what's going on. All I want to do is go to bed. Turn out the lights. Thirsty. Still, it's a little bit different when you go a number of days without that. In fact, you can live without food for about a month. I don't want to. But you can. But you can't live but a matter of days without fluids. You'll die. Your body needs it so much. And guys, think about it. I think it's the same with the presence of the Lord in your life. If a believer doesn't have that closeness, that walk with God, they're dying spiritually. David said, I need it, Lord. I need that closeness. Oh, I want you to notice the next one because it gets good. Notice, if you will, verse 5. Let me back up here. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fat. Now, boy, would the dietary doctor be upset with that verse. You think? This is good meat fat. Fat hog, fat steak. You know, it's sad when you go and you see a piece of steak that has no fat in it. You know what one of the most expensive steaks in the world is? Started in Japan. Kobe. Did you know a hamburger costs you about $60 or $70? You know what makes it so good? They do not let the animal exercise. Why? Well, if you exercise, you build lean muscle. If you don't exercise, you have fat. And pound per pound, that Kobe beef has marbling running all through it. By the way, they take care of those cows so much, when they're relaxed, they give them a beer. They give them beer, of all things. I guess you don't want the cow to get nervous. But it's the fat. Have you ever watched Andrew Zimmer on television? The man will eat literally anything. All right, bugs. He likes bugs. One of his favorite things to do is go in one of those restaurants that serves bones. Because they crack open the bones and suck out the marrow. Out of the bones. It's got all the good stuff in it. The vitamins, everything in it. By the way, that's our life. The lifeblood, the marrow that runs through your bones. You know what happens? You get bone cancer and gets into that? You won't last long. One of the ladies that was in my church, Miss Rose, sweetest lady you'd ever met, one of the things to try to help cure her cancer was to pull out all of her blood, and I think all the marrow, too, they tried, and had to cleanse it and put it back. Trying to heal the cancer. It didn't work. When the Lord's ready for you, it doesn't matter what you do. The Lord's ready for you. But, guys, it is our life, that marrow in there. What happens if you get a broke bone, honey? Doesn't heal too well if it's not reset where it can grow back and everything continue the way it was. Marrow's a good stuff. Did y'all ever eat that when you were younger, the marrow out of the bone? That's the good stuff, guys. Okay. It's sweeter closer to the bone. I've heard that about fish. I think James says that about fish. He fillets fish, but he saves the bone part and cooks it for himself. The meat's sweeter by the bone. Good stuff. What he's saying is the Lord is better than the best food that you can think of. That's what the emphasis is. The Lord satisfies. What does it mean to satisfy? And I like to do words. You notice that? What does it mean to satisfy? Be content. That's pretty good. What else? Well, let me ask you something. What happens on Thanksgiving Day about 1 to 2 in the afternoon? Now, by the way, there's such a thing as being too full, okay? When you got to go to the doctor right after you have Thanksgiving lunch, it's either your wife's a bad cook or you're too full, right? But what if you have just right, not too much, got a little room for dessert, you have that dessert, what happens right after that? Somebody said football, it doesn't last, you go to sleep. My brother thought the greatest thing in the world on Sunday afternoon was turn the ball game on, lay down on the couch and go to sleep. That's what he thought was a great Sunday afternoon. He probably couldn't tell you who won the ball game because he wasn't interested in that, it just put him right to sleep. Guys, you go to sleep for a reason when you're filled up, because your body just relaxes. Wow. It's bad if you hunt, because you'll fall asleep on a tree stand, too. You're full. Really, satisfaction means you're full. If you look up the word, it means you're full. You have enough. It says that God meets all of our needs. Isn't that wonderful? I love some of the stories you can look at in Scripture that sort of talks about that. Remember when Jesus in chapter 4 of the Gospel of John, he told his disciples, I need to go through Samaria. Disciples were thinking, you're crazy. Why? That's the wrong part of town. Oh, don't look at me that way. Did you grow up in a small town? Did you know there's a wrong side of town in that small town? The wrong side of the tracks, you've heard that term, hadn't you? It'd be the wrong part of town. In fact, Jews hated going through there so much they didn't. Very seldom would they ever pass through Samaria because they hated the people in Samaria. That was okay. The people in Samaria hated them back. And they were partly kinfolks. Yes, that was the problem. And Jesus said to his disciples, we got to go through Samaria. You know, they were talking in their own heads going, he's an idiot. What are you going to go through there for? He said, I got a reason. Got to go through there. And comes to a well. They're tired. They're walking. Their Ford broke down. So. Okay, it was a Honda. They were in Accord. No, never mind. Anyhow, he's at the well, and they go and sends his disciples for food, and he's there, and there's a woman there by herself drawing water, and Jesus said, you know what? I've got some water that if you take of it, you won't get thirsty again. Now, she didn't think of anything spiritual when Jesus said that. She said, I want some of that. Guys, what Jesus was talking about was eternal life. When you get eternal life, you don't have to have it again. It is a spring of living water that keeps on flowing. Jesus talked about being the bread of life. He said, if you take of this bread that comes from heaven from the Father, not as your fathers had, talking about the manna, but the bread that God had sent down, which was His Son, He said, if you take of that, you'll never hunger again. Do you notice what the Scripture said? If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. If you got a newer translation, it may say satisfied. Christ meets our needs. He satisfies our heart. He's the only one that can. Like being full from a wonderful meal. Hey guys, for one who likes to eat, trust me, it's good. You know, ain't nothing better than having a steak, baked taters, good salad, sweet tea. I'm sorry, I'm from the South. Not overly sweet, but sweet. as the people would say today, half and half. And just sit back going, wow. Worst problem I have is getting meat out of my teeth. Satisfied. David said, that's what the Lord will do for your soul. He'll satisfy it. Now, guys, there's one more left here I want you to look at very closely. Notice verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee. Now, if you've got a newer translation, it's going to read different than that. It says, my soul clings to you. Now, I said, you know what? I really need to look that word up because make sure I know what I'm talking about. So I looked it up, and it means cling. But I also like the way the King James puts it. Because, guys, just like this song we said a while ago that goes good, it talks about Jesus, it talks about Him suffering on the cross so I could have life, and it talks about when I go through troubles, He's always there, He's closer than any friend that I have on earth. He's so good. But that's not the question about His satisfying. That's a reality. The question is He satisfied with me? I'm not saying that He won't love you if you don't follow Him. I'm not saying you'll lose your salvation. If you noticed in that final verse, He's not talking about losing His salvation. He knows He's going to heaven. He is worried, however, that the Lord's not going to say, well done. So He's not talking about salvation once you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He's talking about the way that we lived our life for Him afterwards. Is He satisfied with us? He doesn't leave us nor forsake us, but we can turn away from Him. The psalmist says, you know what? I'm going to cling to Him. What happened when Mary, after she realized Jesus had arose from the dead, she thought He was dead, thought she had lost the Savior, thought it was all over, brokenhearted. In fact, she was afraid somebody had stole the body of Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus revealed Himself to her, took the blinders off. She saw for a fact it was Jesus. What'd she do? She grabbed on to Him, wasn't going to let go. She wasn't going to take a chance of Him leaving the next time. She was going to hold on. Really and truly, that's the truth. She held on and she wasn't going to let go. I remember somebody else in Scripture doing that one time. A guy who at first was not a real good follower of the Lord, named Jacob. Jacob was out, and the Lord's trying to get his attention and trying to get a hold of him. And he kind of meets the angel of the Lord kind of out in the wilderness, and he realizes he's wrestling with God. Now, I know you've never wrestled with God. But he was physically, literally wrestling with God. And he got to the point he wasn't going to let go. Now, you know God could take care of him in just a skinny minute, all right? You know that's not a problem. But because of who Jacob was a supplanter, if you remember. Wasn't his brother older than he was? What happened when his brother tried to come out? He grabbed him. That's right. Jacob don't like to be number two. He wants to be number one. And so here's the angel of the Lord wrestling with him. And he probably didn't know who he was to begin with, but he wasn't going to let go. I'm going to be victorious in this wrestling match. So what'd the Lord do? He reached back and disjointed his hip. Did you know, and I bet you hadn't caught this in Scripture, but if you look in, I think it is Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith, you'll find out that Jacob always had a walking stick. Because he had a limp. The rest of his life, he had a reminder of what happens when you wrestle with God. That little limp just reminded him every time that he was wrestling with God. Now, I'm glad God's still not doing it that way. We would have all of us be walking out like Grandpa McCoy. But guys, there are some things that you need to grab a hold of the Lord and stay with. And that is our walk with Him. David says, I'm going to cling to Him. But I like how it says it in the King James Version. Notice, my soul followeth hard after thee. He was not going to let anything hinder his walk with the Lord. Now, sometimes neglect can do that. Have you ever got to the place where you're not thinking about God? Ain't nobody shaking your head. You mean to tell me you always think of God and you never have a blank where you're never thinking about God? You're always thinking about Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We're going to have an altar call in a minute. I expect everybody to be up here. Because you're lying to me. I don't always think of God. I don't. It's not always the number one thing on my mind. It's not. I wish it was, but it's not. There are some times I neglect the Lord. Well, that's not the only thing. Sometimes it's sin. You know, sin will hinder your fellowship with God. If you're not willing to deal with it, it kind of encumbers you. I had to look that one up too. See how to spell it. Sometimes I might know a word, but I don't know how to spell that word. You know, that's a tough thing. Remember the teacher would tell you to look it up in the dictionary? If you don't know how to spell it, how are you going to find it? Take you all day to find that word. Because you don't know if it starts with an E or an I. Is that encumbered or encumbered? I had to look it all up before I found it. Bible says, lay aside the weight that does so easily beset you. That's a picture of somebody running a race. Could you imagine running a race with a weight belt on? Not going to do your best. Really not. Guys, I don't know if you think about somebody going hunting. Think about it. Backpack full of junk, tree stand, rifle, knife, lighter, pocket knives, food, water. And we go to the woods like this. And that's why we hunt so close to the road. Well, guys, sometimes we try to walk our Christian walk like that. Got this big weight on us, and we're trying to tote it all and stay up with the Lord. He said, lay it aside, get rid of it. Anything that would hinder you, guys, take it to the Lord. He'll forgive you. He will. Sometimes it's neglect. Sometimes it's sin. Sometimes it's the situation. I'm nearsighted. Which means, if I can read something like right here. But the rest of you are pretty blurry. Even Raymond's a little blurry. And that's a big target. I can see close up, I can't see far off. One day I thought it was going to be cool. I was going to get me some contacts. You know what them rascals did to me? One side I could see far, and the other side I could see close. And then I would get up in the pulpit and try to read the Bible, and my eyes would change. Then I couldn't see far or near. I panicked, and I tried to get them rascals out of my eyes, and I hadn't learned how to put them in or take them out good yet. And I was trying to scratch them things out of my eyes because I couldn't see what I was doing. I finally got them out, and I hadn't put them in since then, pretty much. And I love transition lenses. Your eyes get used to them. They switch for you. You don't even have to think, isn't that great? But nearsighted, without glasses, and by the way, if you lose them in the woods, I'm just out of luck. because I panic when I lose my glasses. Everything's blurry. But sometimes I'm pretty nearsighted. All I can see is what's happening in my life. I can't see what's going on. And sometimes when I'm looking that way, my eye sure isn't on the Lord. It's on the circumstance. And so guess what? I'm not clinging to Him like I ought to. Sometimes I'm just not sensitive. I know the Scripture says I need to know the voice of the Lord. But sometimes it's hard to make out. I got on the telephone one time, and I thought Carrie had called me. Carrie's got a distinctive voice on the telephone, and I just knew it was her. And so, if you know me, I'm a joker, and I was doing a practical joke. When I got through, guess what? It wasn't Carrie. I'm sorry. Sometimes when the Lord talks to me, I'm not hearing His voice. I think I'm hearing somebody else. So I have to be sensitive. And the only way to be sensitive is really walk with the Lord. Get used to that voice. All right? And guys, we have to cling to the Lord. Follow hard, hold on to Him, and don't let anything come between us in that relationship. He is the only one that satisfies. He is the only one that brings that contentment, that rest in our lives. And to do that, He's made it possible. He's right there, but are we following Him? I'm satisfied with Christ. I'm satisfied with salvation. I'm satisfied with Him being there. I'm satisfied with helping Him through. But you know what? Very seldom do I ever ask myself the question, is He satisfied with me? Because when I read through these verses in this song, and especially around verse 3 where it talks about the lost and the straying, do I always do what I'm supposed to do there? Do I allow sin to come in my life sometimes? Am I always thinking about the Lord? Do I allow circumstances sometimes to get the best of me? And sometimes I'm not sensitive to hear His voice. Guys, there's nothing better than the Lord. That's what David said. He said it was better than life itself. I didn't read all the verses there, but I challenge you to do it. He said that the Lord's loving kindness is better than life itself. Isn't it amazing that we try to fill up that void in our lives with everything else? Thinking this will be better, or that'll make me happy, or if I had more of this, I would be happier. If I had that lady over there, I'd be more happy. Or if I had that guy over there, I'd be more happy. You know, in the world, we kind of look at that and we think that's what'll do it. David said there's only one thing that'll bring real joy and fullness in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. Don't let anything hinder you from your walk. Let's pray. Father, maybe there's someone here that hasn't got that walk. They don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, just a moment, Miss Debbie's going to come and lead in a hymn of invitation. And Lord, I'm going to be standing down front. And that's what I'm standing down front there. If somebody's got a question or they're not sure about their relationship, they can just step out, come out. We'll sit down on the front row and talk about it. They won't have to say anything in front of folks. I'll talk to them. Lord, the altar is open. Maybe there's somebody that's got a sin that's hindering them in their walk. Maybe there's someone that's not as sensitive to your voice, Lord, as they need to be. Or maybe somebody's going through a circumstance right now. They're nearsighted, and they really need You to be a part of their life right now, Lord. The invitation's Yours. Thank You for being a God that loves us and is patient, long-suffering. You put up with us, and I'm so glad You do, Lord. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.